give me the next word on this scripture. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he is good. And God, we saw last week, God didn't care so much where we have been as much as where we are going. Amen? And if you're still breathing, God's not done with you.
Amen?
Amen? You know, I was... Our service in obedience is not what makes us right with God. That's what religion says. God wants our service in obedience to be an overflow of this intimate love relationship that he desires as a father with a child. And I share that because once I discovered that, I knew immediately that God had a plan for my life. And I have many life verses, but this is probably my number one life verse. This is me. In Acts 20:24, listen to this. But my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Version I know says that I might finish my course, but I like this part here. That the work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and love. Amen. He wants me to tell the whole world about his kindness and love. And that, listen, that's God's plan for my life. Not just for him to conform me into the image of Jesus, but for us to be Jesus to this world. And I discovered, listen, God is not only good, but God has a plan for every one of our lives. Amen? If you're still breathing. I was thinking, who does God really use, though? I mean, who does God really have a plan for? And I jotted down a few people, maybe more. Actually, I jotted a bunch. We'll go through a few. And think about, see if you qualify for God to use you, for God to have a plan for your life. And the first one I wrote was Samuel. Prayed for by mama before he even existed. Dedicated to the Lord before he was born. Committed to the temple. Listen, very faithful, very obedient. As a matter of fact, as I go through the scriptures, I never find Samuel in any error or sin. So you can understand why God would use him, amen? And I thought, well, how about any of us? Can we look at our lives and find no error or sin ever in our life? Well, probably not. So let's see who else that he used. Well, I thought about Gideon. Gideon was afraid and hiding, but God used him. He had a plan for his life. Esther was an orphan. God had an awesome plan for her life. Jeremiah thought he was too young. Moses knew God had a plan for his life, tried to do it on his own, and blew it. And then at 80 years old, people probably thought he was too old, but how many of you know God still had a plan for his life? Amen? Jonah was rebellious, disobedient, and running from God. But you know what? You can't outrun God. And God, listen, God still had a plan for his life. Naomi was a widow. Ruth raised by a single parent. Elijah went through a time of exhaustion and depression. But God still had a plan for his life. The demoniac, man completely consumed by demons, sins, strongholds, iniquities, issues. And let's just bring it on home. Maybe we wouldn't consider ourselves a demoniac, but I bet many of us struggle with areas in our lives. I'm going to tell you something. For years, I struggled with lust and anger. But I want you to know we have an awesome God who has set me totally free. So listen, regardless where you've been or where you are, God has a plan for your life. Rahab, a prostitute, you know she dealt with shame, guilt, condemnation. And let me tell you something. God had an awesome plan for her life. Saul was a terrorist. Saul of Tarsus was a terrorist. Surely he felt unworthy, but how many of you know God used him to become a mighty apostle for the kingdom of God? Let me tell you, God has a plan for your life. Joseph, abused, rejected, misunderstood, abandoned, falsely accused, and imprisoned. But God had a plan for his life. So much so it affected the nations. Listen, God has a plan for your life. And I'm going to stop there for a moment to say this. In the midst of every issue, every struggle, every rejection, hurt, every sin stronghold, let me tell you something. If you never give up, God will fulfill his plan for your life. Turn to your neighbor, say, never give up. You know, I thought about this man. The man's name was Naaman. You'll find him in the book of Kings. Let's say he was a general, awesome, a victorious general in the king's army. But he had leprosy. He was a leper. Say leprosy. And you know, I think all of us in some way deal with self-esteem with the area of leprosy or some issue in our life. It may not be a skin disease, but maybe it's shame or guilt or some other stronghold. And it's interesting, he heard about this God that could actually make him whole, heal him. He got word, so what's he do? He loads up his entourage, camels, I guess it was camels, I have to read again, but gold, silver, linens, and he finally ends up at the prophet's house who knows this God who can heal him. So watch this. He gets to the prophet's house, and he's waiting, anticipating for the prophet to come out. But what happens? Watch this. The prophet sends out a servant. And the servant comes to him and he says, the prophet said to go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. And after 7 times, you'll be healed of leprosy. When he was told that, first thing he becomes angry. And listen to these words. His first words were, I thought. Say, I thought. Listen, I want you to hear something. God has an awesome plan for your life. God has a good plan for your life. But watch this. And some of us even have desire. But if you think you know how God's going to do it, you might miss what God has for you. Did you hear what I said? Because that one thought, watch this, initially kept him from the miracle and the plan of God for his life. Because listen to what he said. I thought the prophet would come out, wave his hand, call on the name of his God, and strike me. And in anger, watch this, in anger, he leaves. He misses the miracle. He misses the plan of God for his life. But thank God for a good friend. Say, a good friend. Because there was a friend that said, hey, wait, and talked some sense into him. Said, if the prophet had asked you to do something difficult, would you? Yes, well, how about this simple thing? And now watch. It's important what kind of friend you hang around with. Because, listen, I may touch on another friend that would actually send you away. But are you hanging around friends that are godly, that will encourage you in the things of God? Are you a friend that encourages others in the things of God? Because of this godly friend, he agrees, goes to the Jordan, dips 7 times, comes up the 7th time. His skin is brand new, like baby skin. And now watch. That one thought could have kept him from the will of God, the plan, the miracle of God for his life. And I share this because I want us to be, when we leave here today, I want us to expect God's goodness in our life. Say the goodness of God. You know, Psalm 27, listen to what it says, verse 13. It says, I am confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This version says it like this. Yet I am confident of that I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Now listen. The New American Standard says it like this. I don't have wood, but it says, I would have despaired unless I had believed to see God's goodness in the land of the living. And you know what I discovered? Despair will always knock on your door. Isn't that true? Yes. Issues with life, relational, physical, emotional. Listen, despair, disease, despair always knocks. Now watch this. He says, I would have despaired unless I had believed to see God's goodness. Let me tell you something. Despair will come in unless you answer by expecting God's goodness. So, and listen, you expect it by his word. And I believe we're going to be able to touch on that. So I want us to see something. And it's interesting. It says, I would have despaired unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the next word, the next verse, the first word is wait. Say wait. It says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Now listen, we're going to go somewhere. Because in Psalm 106, you can read the whole psalm, but check this out. I'm going to focus on verses 12 and 13. But just prior to that, it's talking about the children of Israel. God has a plan for their life, even though they are in bondage. And God uses Moses, demonstrates 10 incredible miraculous plagues, delivers them out of bondage. And while they're escaping, and they have escaped with wealth galore, they come to the Red Sea. And even at that point, they're complaining and murmuring. But God, for his name's sake, opens the Red Sea, delivers his people. And you know what happened. I mean, the people are amazed. As soon as they get to the other side, here comes Pharaoh's army right in behind them. And when they get in the middle of this dry land of the sea, what happened to the sea? God closes the sea on them and completely destroyed all the enemy. Completely wiped out. And listen to what the next verse says. It says, they finally believe God's promises. Watch this. And then it says they sang their praise. Much like what we saw this morning. As a matter of fact, Miriam leads the whole thing with her tambourine. But you know what blows me away? The very next verse. Watch this. Here, they believe his promises. They sing his praise. The very next verse. But they soon forgot what he had done. And then check this out. And this is what I want to talk about. They soon forgot what he had done. So they did not wait on the Lord's counsel. As soon as they forgot what he had done, they no longer waited for his counsel. And it goes on to say, depravity, lust, God gave them over to that, and they wanted things that weren't the will of God, and God gave it to them. But with it, he sent leanness of soul, wasting disease, and plague. Let me share something with you. We have a good God. God has good plans and awesome things for us. But let me share this. We need to wait for the counsel of the Lord to see what he desires for us. And even if there's something we know, we need to wait for God's counsel or even instruction of how to obtain that. Naaman knew God was a good God, would heal him. But he had to wait for the counsel of God, the instruction to dip in the Jordan. Isn't that true? And listen, you can see all through the scripture. You know, even when Peter needed to pay tax, Jesus told him to go fishing. I know a lot of you would like that, right? But even to destroy the walls of Jericho, what did God say? Go and fight? No, he said, go and march around. Listen, we have to wait for the counsel of God. You know, even after that, later, they're in the desert, Moses and his people, they need water. And God said, speak to the rock. Listen, if we wait for the counsel of God, we can receive the goodness of God. But we must wait. But even before that, we need to remember what he's done. Amen? They soon forgot what he had done. I always decided I'd never get married, but then I met Miss Melanie Ruth Hancock. You ever hear of her? That righteous fox? Well, she blew my... she knocked my socks off, and I'm thinking, well, should I get married? But you know what? I was afraid to get married because I didn't want to marry the wrong person. I'd seen too much. I knew there was a call of God in my life. I didn't want to blow it. So I'm thinking, God, is she the right person? And watch this. And God can counsel you in different ways in different ways at any time. I just happened to be reading through the Bible. And in Genesis, I'm reading where Abraham and Sarah are going through a region. And Abraham, realizing that these people probably don't know God, because of Sarah's beauty, listen to what he says to her. Sarah, you're so beautiful. They'd kill me to get you because we're married. So he says, let's say we're brother and sister, okay? So they won't kill me. They'll still get you. I don't know what kind of husband he was, but anyway. But she agrees. You know, she called him Lord. That's a whole other message. Anyway, watch this. My wife called me Lord this weekend. I won't tell you what she was saying, but anyway. Now watch. So the word gets to King Abimelech, or King Abimelech. Recognizes Sarah's beauty. Watch this. And this king, who has no relationship with God, takes Sarah into his harem. A man that has probably never heard or talked to God. And after he takes Sarah into his harem, God speaks to this man. And the first words probably this man has ever heard from God, God says, you are a dead man. Oh, great news, right? I mean, you are... And listen to that. And he says, that woman is married to that man. Watch this. A man who doesn't know God. This is how God spoke to me. God not only speaks to him, now he speaks to God. He says, God, I took her out of the, watch this, out of the integrity of my heart. They said they were brother and sister. In a different version, I took her out of the integrity, out of the innocence of my heart. And watch this. So not only does, now God talks back to him. Listen to what he says. That's why I've kept you from touching her. Because you took her out of the integrity of your heart. And he returned her and got healed. But I want you to see something. And God, listen to how God spoke to me. Not only does God want to speak to me, but I'm not to pray, is she the right person? He changed my prayer to, God, give me a heart of integrity. Give me a heart. God created me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. Watch this. Because God showed me, if my heart is right with him, and I walk with the heart of integrity, if I step out of his will and my heart is right, he's well able to bring me back on course. If he needs to be a dream or vision or something, let me tell you, we have a good God. And because of that, I had peace to follow after this righteous fox, and the rest is history. We got four awesome kids, and she says we're not done. But I want you to know, listen, I've been a very blessed man. But I will tell you this, I'm going to just tell you what happened. After second child, we then become pregnant with our third child. And I am so excited. But I caught myself being short and impatient with my wife, whom I love. Okay, God, what's going on here? And I don't want to be, but I caught myself quick and sharp. And I thought, what's going on? Watch how the counsel of the Lord came. On a Friday night, I'm preaching to Vietnamese kids. While I'm preaching, it's the parable of the sower, and I'm having them act it out. But all of a sudden, while they are, the weeds that come and choke out the word. Watch this. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, lust for other things that choke the word. And watch this. While I'm preaching, God counsels me through my preaching. And he showed me, though I'm excited about us having another child, watch how the cares of my mind was working. God, we hardly fit in my little Toyota as it is. God, we don't have enough room. God, we need another vehicle. God, we need a minivan. God, like a Honda Odyssey. God, I mean, what? Now watch. Nothing wrong with that, but it became a focus, and the care of that started to choke out the word of the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, peace, patience, even towards my own wife. And while I'm preaching, God counseled me. I'm so convicted, I repented in front of those Vietnamese kids. And because God brought me back, son, you got to seek me, right? One of my life verses, seek first me, seek first my kingdom, seek first, you seek me first, and I'll take care of those things. And God broke me and set me so free. Before I got home, I called my wife and so repented and set me so free. I said, I'm not going to let the cares of this life crush what God wants to do in me. And I became a loving husband again, amen? I mean, no. But watch, this was on Friday. The next Sunday, 2 days later, I'm preaching at a church, doing their morning services. After the second service, trying to get out of there because I'm not only do I need to drop off my family, I'm going to preach in Dallas. So I'm trying to get out, and the church is giving me an honorarium, thank God, and watch this. While I'm trying to get out, people around visiting, well, this man and wife come back into the church, and they're carrying this massive box. And it happened to be a one of those fancy double strollers, a $300 stroller. And God had spoken to him the night before, while they're in Babies R Us, that this stroller is for the preacher, whom he didn't know who the preacher was going to be. And so God just started blessing us and trying to get out of there, and people are giving us notes and fine. And anyway, get home quickly, change my shirt, check pockets, Melanie, and those notes, there was a $20 bill. There were five $1 bills. There was a check for $1,000. There was another check for $1,000. People I do not know. And I just started laughing. God, you're already taking care of that man. I just started laughing and just focused for God and his kingdom. Driving to Dallas, actually Athens, before I get there, call on the car phone. Man introduces himself. Your wife said I could call you. Yes, sir. Heard your second service. Actually, family, you blessed it throughout the years, different places. And my wife and I have been talking, and we believe that God wants us to give you our extra vehicle, which is the 2000 Honda Odyssey minivan that we drive to this very day with a navigation system. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen, God is good. As you go through the word, there's people that expect God's goodness. The woman with the issue of blood. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be here. Listen, there's a press. Sometimes we have to press through. And you can tell where you are because she thought and she said, if I can just touch that. Listen, your thoughts and your words will determine what you're really expecting. Because we can pray one thing, but murmur, complain, and be negative. And listen, your thoughts and words identify really where you are in your heart. So that's important. But you can see, well, blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He's expecting God's goodness, and I will kind of backtrack here to say, but the people around him told him to shut up and be quiet. What kind of friends do you have? Like Naaman, where they encourage you in the Lord, or like Bartimaeus that tell you to shut up and sit down? Listen, there's always a battle, and you have to fight through. And what I want you to see this, and this is where I want us to see a little illustration here, so I'm going to need some help. Is that okay? You look like a good man right here. Here, bring your Bible. You'll look spiritual that way. I want you right over here. And you'll have to read a couple of chapters to see this whole picture, but face this way. You can read Daniel's chapter 9 and 10. It's interesting, in chapter 9, as he's praying, and an angel comes. In chapter 10, he prays, and 21 days later, an angel comes. Well, watch this. And Daniel 9, it's interesting. Daniel's reading. He's in captivity, in Babylonian captivity, okay? He's reading the prophet Jeremiah, the scripture. Say the word of God. Listen, that's number one way God will speak to you. It's through his word, by his spirit. Now watch. He's reading through, and we know it as Jeremiah 29, actually. Most of you can quote 29:11. You know what 29:10 says? It says, after the year, 70 years are complete in Babylon. God has already spoken that their captivity would be 70 years. Well, Daniel, it's 70 years, and he's reading that the time of captivity is free. So he finds a promise in the scripture that pertains to him. What's he do immediately? He turns to God. Say, turn to God. He humbles himself in prayer. He prays. Say, he prays. And watch this. The first thing he does, he praises and worships of God. He reminds him that he's a covenant-keeping God. And then for the rest of the chapter, he just repents for him and his people. And what's amazing, that after 21 days, an angel shows up. But when the angel got there, you know what he said? The day you prayed, God sent an answer. But it took 21 days. And then he explained to what happened. So let's kind of act this out, because I'm going to share along the lines of my family salvation. So I need one more guy. Come on up here. And I need a real godly man. Somebody man of God? No, yeah, I need. So who's a man of God here? Who's the one, so black shirt waving a tambourine? You look like a man. Who is that?
Jim.
Come on, Jim. Good. I need a man of God for this role. And I need you to sit there for a moment. And I need you here. And then I'm going to call on one more guy, but I'll just grab you when it comes. But watch this. Daniel finds in the scripture, humbles himself, prays, worships God, reminds him of his word, repents. And this is the way I see it. Here, get over there. I need something. Okay, this looks good. In this scenario, I'm going to be God. Okay, just in this scenario. But what's it say? 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for one whose heart is turned perfectly towards him, that he might prove himself strong in their behalf. Amen? So the eyes of the Lord, it's like he's just searching throughout the earth, and all of a sudden somebody gets his attention. It's Daniel. Daniel has found in the scriptures, he's got, really got my attention, in the word of God, humbling himself in prayer, and here's God kind of listening, and all of a sudden, watch this. All of a sudden, he starts to praise God. And God says, oh, yeah. I'm a daddy, okay? God says, oh, I love when my people praise me. Oh, he's praised me, but he's reminding me that I'm a covenant keeper. He's reminding me of my word. He's bringing my promise back to myself, what I've promised. And he's repenting for himself, for his people, and I can see God in heaven. Oh, that's for... Gabriel, get over here. Listen to my boy Daniel. He's praying, he's humbling, he's repenting, he's reminding me of his word. Immediately, Take this to him. It's an answer from me. Go. Now watch. He sent it immediately, but it took 21 days. What happened? He explained. So, King of Persia, here's what I said. Stand over here. Stand over here, because you stop him from coming. And really, watch this. This king of Persia is a demonic force. Remember, we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Listen, I'm talking about the fight of faith. I want you to see how you can win in every area of your life. But where is your, listen, watch how you battle. It's a fight of faith if you stay in God and his word. Now watch. All of a sudden, he meets a demonic force he can't get through. But when the angel shows up, finally, he says to him, I've come in response to your word. Say words.
Words.
Version I have here says, I've come in response to your prayer. So it's apparent that Daniel never quit. He stayed in faith in the word of God. Okay, that's it's real important. So he's there, he's praying, and it's interesting. He says, I met the king of Persia, I couldn't come through. And then God sent, here, you right there, you look strong. Because while he was praying, he said that God sent his prince, I like to call him the warring angel, Michael, to join him. And guess what happened to this demon force? See ya. God is good. Listen, no matter what walk of life, how dark, and even what you're battling with now, God has an awesome plan for your life. Listen, two things. We have to expect his goodness. And we have to wait for his counsel. And when we get it, don't you ever give up. I just sense, I think a lot of us, it took 21 days. I think on the 20th day, some of us would have gone, oh, God, it's been 20 days. Forget this stuff. And if faith words strengthen the angels, I wonder what words of doubt and fear would have done. I don't know. But thank God he stayed in faith. He stayed in his word. And I want to encourage you. God's a loving father. He sent Jesus to us, for us. Listen, he's paid the price. He's taken our sin so that we can enter into a relationship with this loving father who's a good father. He has an awesome plan for your life. He will take you from where you are and fulfill it if you never give up. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. Lord, God, I remember the once. I remember that invitation, high school girl. God, I remember the love of the Hancocks and Don towards my family, my mom and dad. God, I remember. I remember how you opened the door for me to stay at HBU for a while. I remember how you blessed me, God. But most of all, I remember how you opened the eyes of my mom and dad. And Lord, I remember since that time, God, how you restored my dad's health for another almost year and a half. He got to see my firstborn, his granddaughter. God, how you restored him well enough to go back to Jerusalem, build a complex, and allowed a Christian couple to come in that has started over 30 Bible schools in the Middle East for Jews and Muslims. And God, though since then you've taken my dad to heaven, I remember even till this day, my mom at 78 years of age has become a preaching machine for Jesus. God, I don't forget those guys. And God, you're a good God, and you have good things for all of us. You have an awesome plan for each one of our lives. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, we would wait for your counsel. We'd wait for your counsel, wait for your instruction. And Lord, as we see your word, as we see your promise, God, we would fight that good fight of faith. We would never give up until you fulfill your will, your purpose, your destiny for each and every one of our lives. Father, I ask that you would seal this in our hearts. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you yet through Jesus Christ and God as their Father, I pray that even as they sit, that they would pray even now, okay, Jesus, you're real. I heard the Lord this morning during the worship. And it's when we were singing the song, I'm madly in love with you, I heard God's voice singing, I'm madly in love with you. This Father is so in love with you, this God, that he sent his son Jesus so you could enter into a relationship with him. as you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead after dying on the cross, and you confess that Jesus is Lord and make him the Lord of your life, you receive the gift of salvation and you enter into a relationship with God as your Father. If you need that, you just say, Jesus, I repent, come in. And Father, for each one of us here, Lord, some dealing with shame or guilt, bondage or iniquities, stronghold, unworthiness, God, thank God you showed us every type in the Bible that you desired and you plan to use for an awesome demonstration of who you are. So, Lord, none of us are alone. You see where we are and where we've been, and you still have an incredible plan for each one of our lives. Lord, it's not just to walk with you, but it's to walk in such a way that others will taste and see how good you are. So, Father, I pray for each one of us that we will expect your goodness. We will wait, we will hear, and we will never give up till your will is done in and through our lives, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.